Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
If the world were like a Sleep Number mattress, everything would adapt for your comfort. Because as your life changes and your body changes, Sleep Number mattresses adapt and shift to give you personalized comfort night after night. And now it's the final days of our Everything's on Sale event. Save up to $1,200 on mattresses. Our Memorial Day event ends Monday. To experience a whole new world of comfort, visit a Sleep Number store or go to sleepnumber.com. Sleep Number, to a good life's sleep.
Hey, good evening, wherever you are in the world. I'm delighted to have Chris Hansen back on the show. We've been collaborating for years. Many of you have seen his To Catch a Beep videos, billions of views on them. Fantastic work he's been doing. But now, with the release of the Epstein files and his deep dive into Roblox, we're seeing absolute validation of his work. I mean, since the files came out a week last Friday, it's been nonstop here, Chris. Just more and more demonic, foul, deviant revelations coming out every day. Huge thank you for coming on, firstly. And when the files came out, anything take you by surprise? Or because you've been steeped in this pit for so long, did it not surprise you?
Well, it's sad to say, Sean, and thank you for having me back again. It's good to see you. It's sad to say that, you know, nothing surprises me anymore. You know, we've been doing these investigations into men trying to meet children. We call them Takedown on our streaming crime network, True Blue. And, you know, it's epidemic across the country. But when you look at the Epstein case, there seems to be no limit to the depravity and to his desperate attempts to hold things, true or not, over very powerful men's heads to get what he wants. And when you look at some of these emails and some of the documents, it's shocking that he would spend so much time, for instance, either threatening a guy like Lex Wexner or, you know, coming up with things that he could hold over their heads. And you know, you see the stuff with Prince Andrew and people are finally starting to realize how deep that goes across the pond as well. It wasn't just in the United States.
Prince Charles is getting heckled in the streets here at public appearances.
I saw that. Yeah. And no indication that he's involved in any of this, obviously, but certainly Prince Andrew and his former wife were into it up to their eyeballs. And there seems to be no end to it. You're looking at that picture now of Prince Andrew, you know, hovering over a young woman's body. You know, what were these people thinking? You know, it's power breeds corruption, and absolute power breeds absolute corruption. And what we see in the Epstein case is that these people thought they were untouchable because they had so much money. And I guarantee you, there are people who got dragged into this thing who didn't engage in sexual contact with anybody who was underage. I guarantee you. But he was good at luring these people, you know, and people wanted to be around this guy who they thought he was cool. And what I have a hard time getting my arms around is, okay, maybe you're running around Palm Beach before he gets into trouble. You know, and maybe he's a guy who's a bachelor and a bon vivant, and he's, you know, socially active. He's got a jet. He's got millions of dollars. He's got an island, all that. All right, that's attractive to some people. But once he's entered into this guilty plea, which was a offensive, grotesque sweetheart deal that essentially allowed him to get away with statutory rape and human trafficking and do his time in the county jail at his pleasure, at his leisure, you know, and you're showing the U.S. attorney who was involved in that at the time there. It's just offensive. And once, you know, a guy gets convicted of this, you have due diligence to understand who you're dealing with. Look, you and I have rogues on our shows all the time, but they're identified as such. And there's a reason we have them, is to question them about their deeds. And if they want to talk about that and clue us into the mind of somebody who is a criminal, that's fine. It's even better if they change their ways and show some remorse. and pay their debt to society. Look, I've got guys who come on my Have a Seat with Chris Hansen show all the time who've been in prison, who now give me, you know this all too well. I mean, you've done the time, you've made a great success yourself, but you understand that. But this is a guy who has no remorse, never has, and the revelations are just astounding to me. I mean, just when you think you've seen it all, and we don't even know because there's so many pages of this that nobody's even looked at it all yet. I could do this all day, every day for the rest of my life with a team of 100 researchers and still not be through it.
Chris, have you looked into the New Mexico baby farm, baby gene editing, transhumanism side of it? Because there were several emails that we looked at, really alarming, documenting Epstein had a lab in Ukraine, for example, discussions of gene editing, creating hermaphrodites, etc.
Yes, and I by no means have gotten to the bottom of it, and by no means do I have the smoking gun or any hot scoop for you, but I did recently interview one of the Epstein survivors, Juliette Bryant, who's on the Have a Seat with Chris Hansen podcast, and she will tell you a chilling story about being brought to the ranch in New Mexico, Epstein's ranch, and waking up from some sort of a stupor in a medical surgical room setting, surrounded by people who are wearing surgical medical type gear. And to this day, she does not know, in spite of her demands to be told what happened to her, she doesn't know what they did to her. And again, this is part of that whole situation where, you know, she's in South Africa as a young woman, and she's in a social place and runs into Epstein and former President Bill Clinton and all these famous, powerful people, and she's wowed by it. And then there's the promise of, you know, modeling and the connection with Victoria's Secret, which obviously Epstein had. And, you know, model agents in France and Lex Wexner again and all of this. And so, it's alluring. It's narcotic to some young women who want to go into this business. And why would you not take advantage of somebody who's with a former president of the United States? You know, and he knew how to surround himself with these people that who would give him credibility. And they get sucked into this vortex of human trafficking and abuse and exploitation. There seems to be no end to it.
So there's a lot of ping pong going on with Trump and the Clintons, both of whom are in the Epstein files. Is it just some script like Andre the Giant versus Hulk Hogan, or will they ever get to the bottom of anything over there?
Well, the Clintons have agreed to testify in front of Congress on this matter. Originally, they called it a political folly situation, and they refused. And now they are going to testify, but they want it in public. And you know, there are pictures that are not flattering of Bill Clinton, not necessarily the one in the blue dress that was something that Epstein made up, but there are other pictures of him, you know, in various poses, and, you know, with women and hot tubs and things like that. It's not a great look, but they're going to go talk about it. The president, Donald Trump, has said from the beginning that, you know, he knew Epstein. They ran in the same circles. You know, his wife, you know, was a model and had some, you know, tangential contact there, but he never engaged in any illegal activity. And I've seen nothing that contradicts that, but he's mentioned thousands of times. And again, a wealthy, powerful guy who Epstein thought he could exploit. You know, we may never know the exact truth to everything in these files. I mean, you know, there's three sides to every story. And clearly he ginned some of this up to create impressions of influence. But everything I've seen indicates that, in fact, you know, Trump ended contact when he said he ended contact and there was no further dealings with him. But it really shows how he was so adept at being able to wheedle his way into these people's lives. And he used sex, money, drugs, whatever it took to get there.
So it seems to have gone one stage further here in the UK with the politicians, because this guy, Mandelson, was detected giving Epstein secrets that were vital to national security and insider information matters. And his house has been, two properties have been raided. He's looking at a big sentence now. And it could possibly topple the entire Keir Starmer government, because he knew Mandelson had this relationship with Epstein after the conviction. Do you think on the state side there will be any consequences as vast as that? Or is everybody protected?
Well, I think as of now, it appears, whether they should be or not, anybody in political power is likely protected or dead, you know, at this point here in the U.S. You have seen people step down from prominent leadership positions in law firms and corporations. And, you know, Leon Black stepped down from his own investment fund, you know, because of this. And we had a guy who was Peter Attia, who's a doctor, a health correspondent who had a relationship with CBS News, just stepped down because he had some, you know, emails that appeared on the surface to be inappropriate. No actual allegation of any activity, but, you know, you can't engage in this and then expect to be unscathed. You know, if the guy was a convicted sex offender, right? And then, so if you're playing with him, you're playing with fire. You're not using good judgment. And this is going to spill out across the board. But I don't think we've seen anything, to my knowledge at least, or to date, that represents something that's potentially treasonous, which is, you know, kind of what you guys are looking at over there with the Mendelsohn thing. And if the prime minister knew about this, well, holy hell. You know, it's about to really blow up there, I would think.
It is.
The House, I mean, those guys would be, you think it's loud on a regular day. Watch what happens after this, you know.
Yeah, we think Starmer's going to fall soon, and the monarchy's under threat as well. But a lot of people who follow this case are interested in Maxwell. You know, she was rewarded, moved to a soft prison, possibly paving the way to get out early. And a lot of the survivors we work with are devastated that the poster child for human transportation has been rewarded thusly. What do you think's going on with this lady? Why is she so protected?
I talked to survivors, and perhaps, Sean, we're talking to some of the same survivors, but routinely they're offended, obviously, that Ghislaine Maxwell would get some sort of special treatment. I mean, she was afforded a trial in which she had the choice to present witnesses and testify herself should she so desire. She had a vigorous and expensive legal defense, and she was convicted by a jury. And now she's got to do the time. And for her to be moved from the facility where she was doing time to the facility where she is now, and to be afforded the, I don't know if I'd say luxuries, but the amenities that she apparently is being afforded is unprecedented. I mean, unless you're cooperating with the government, right? And I look back at the White Boy Rick case, or, you know, Escobar or Carlos Lader and all those guys, they all went to the camp in Arizona. A lot of them did. And they had special treatment. They had, you know, little trailers where they could have, you know, female conjugal visits. And you know, they got away with a lot of stuff down there because they were helping the government in major cases. And they got that break because of their assistance to the government and because they were looking at a very long term. In some cases, White Boy Rick, for instance, at the time was facing, you know, mandatory minimum life under state charges in Michigan. So they, you know, they gave him a little bit of his life back. Now he's out, obviously, when they changed that law. So you have to believe that they're not just doing this because the Bureau of Prisons is kind-hearted and is worried about her workout schedule, you know, and her being able to get hair color. I mean, you know, they do things for a reason. And so she's helping somehow, and I don't know to the extent she's helping. but something's happening. They just don't pluck you out of a medium security and send, or a, you know, light security, whatever she was in, and send you to something that's easy in Texas, where the climate is moderate and you have choices in the matter. They don't do that for no reason.
I'm surprised she's got this far, looking at what happened to Jean-Luc Brunel and Epstein himself. So you got a viewer question here. Do you think Maxwell will get pardoned?
I don't know. The Trump administration has pardoned some people. No human traffickers. You know, most of them have been, you know, financial crimes and you know, some drug crimes. But nobody, at least that I'm aware of, who was involved in this sort of thing. I don't know that the Trump administration has ruled this out. But gosh, I unless she gives prosecutors and investigators something of value, I just don't see it. I mean, I don't see it being justified. I won't be shocked if it happens. Again, you know, what's shocking anymore?
And she said she's going to do a blanket pleading the fifth at this upcoming hearing. What do you think about that?
Well, I think she's protecting herself. So, you know, clearly she said something to Justice Department officials when they went to go visit her. I don't have transcripts of that meeting, but she said something. They had a meeting. It would behoove her in that setting to be cooperative. I don't know that it behooves her in front of Congress. I mean, that'll be a bit of a, you know, circus show, no matter who's testifying. It'd be very political, and there'll be a lot of jabs. I mean, you watch the show. It's you know, they'll go nuts over this. So I don't anticipate any change in her statement that she's going to plead the fifth. And, you know, not try to, you know, implicate herself in any crimes.
So Marie's got a question about Wexner. Did Epstein really threaten Wexner? Wexner seems so high up that that seems a bit strange. Didn't Epstein report to Wexner?
Well, I think the breakup of that relationship was partially caused, if my understanding is correct, through what I've seen and read and what's been in the files, and what Wexner said, at least, that part of the breakup in that relationship was caused because of threats. And whatever went on between the two of them in the early years, financially and socially and whatever else, he called an end to it. And Epstein didn't react well to it. And you see in the, you know, in the conversations back and forth, there's, you know, Epstein intimates that, you know, I know a lot, but your secret's good with me. You know, he goes back and forth. It's this passive aggressive type thing that you see in his missives. You're okay, but, you know, remember, I know a lot and this. And Wexner has vehemently denied, you know, any inappropriate behavior on his part. But again, you know, how could you not see this? I mean, there you are, the CEO of a major company whose holdings include Victoria's Secret. You know that your investment guy, who's been giving you tax advice, investment advice, is over in Europe and other places recruiting, you know, taking part in recruiting models for your company. Now, if you're a finance guy, what are you doing over there recruiting models? I mean, sure, a lot of guys go to the Victoria's Secret, you know, show, and that's a popular thing, just like the Sports Illustrated, you know, swimsuit edition. Guys go to that. Nothing wrong with that. But if you're supposed to be a finance guy and you're over in Eastern Europe recruiting women for allegedly for the company and also for yourself for human trafficking, somebody's got to blow the whistle on you. I mean, somebody had to have said, even before the charges in Palm Beach County, that sweetheart deal, somebody had to say in Wexler's circle, look, this guy is not behaving properly. I mean, he had to know something. You can't look at the other way for that long.
And I know you put a lot of information out there to protect kids and parents, and you touched on an important thing there, how they are lured in with promises of being made into models from Victoria's Secret to Jean-Luc Brunel, who's on the screen there. So when kids are getting solicited like that, I mean, how can they, you know, they've got stars in their eyes. They're seeing people like Naomi Campbell hang out with these guys. How can you get these kids to alerted to the possible dangers, Chris?
Well, I think, you know, as much, Sean, as we do these investigations and law enforcement does these investigations around the world on a weekly basis, the best protection, and this has been my mantra for a long time, the best protection is the relationship you have with your parents. Children have with their parents. Parents have with their children. And, you know, you talk about the Roblox investigation that we're going to release in the next few weeks. You know, sometimes this stuff happens where you least expect it. It happened to Juliet Bryant in South Africa when the guy who was committing all this exploitation was with the president, former president of the United States. Sometimes it happens on gaming platforms that are designed specifically for children, where you think your kids are safe. It's the same grooming. It's the same exploitation. And you know, kids are vulnerable. Young women are vulnerable. They see a path to, you know, a profession. In the Roblox situation, we interview countless, we explore countless cases. We investigated countless cases and several victims who are online, you know, just trying to play a game, develop a game, be involved in Roblox, and were preyed upon by older people who knew how to groom to make them feel, you know, included, special. And then they can use this currency, just like Epstein did with money and drugs and everything else. They use a currency called Robux to pay kids. And in some cases, we've seen, you know, people who are exploiting children pay kids to exploit other children. And I'm interviewing the father of a girl who killed herself because she was preyed upon by people in the 764 group, and it all started on Roblox. And so you've got this game with characters that look like Lego characters. Our parents say, well, it's harmless. It's geared for kids as young as 5 years old. And they get in there, and the parents lose track of it. There's a boy missing here in New York since January 9th who told his friends he was going to go meet somebody he met on Roblox. Last seen in the Manhattan Bridge. You know, we don't know what happened or if it was exactly related to Roblox, but it gives you pause for concern in that his mother, who's a ranking executive at a Fortune 500 company, the only child, private school, everything you could possibly expect in a childhood, he had 5 Roblox accounts she was unaware of. Kids are crafty, right? We in one county, Sean, in Florida, in Marion County, Florida, we had a case where a man was arrested for exploiting at least a dozen children online on Roblox. In the same county, we had a 10-year-old girl who, unbeknownst to her mother, and this is a girl who's homeschooled, by the way, who was being exploited by a man in England on Roblox. So these two cases are going at the same time in Marion County, Florida. Thankfully, there is a detective there who specializes, who might be one of the most schooled and experienced detectives in this sort of work on Roblox in the country. And he was able to piece these cases together, and both are being prosecuted aggressively right now. And he's in the documentary that's going to roll out on my streaming crime network, True Blue, in a couple of weeks.
So why is Roblox so attractive to predators versus other platforms?
It's where the kids are. You know, why does a bank robber rob a bank? It's where the money is. Why does a high-tech criminal, you know, look to exploit somebody's, you know, Bitcoin account or other currency? It's where the money is. It's where the kids are. Every day, you know, millions and millions of kids go on this site. And because their parents think it's safe, they are exposed to this. Now, Roblox will tell you that it recently implemented age verification and some other safety measures to make sure that kids can't communicate with adults. But it's still happening. And it has happened for 20 years. I interviewed a fellow for this documentary, Sean, who was groomed 15 years ago. And this is a guy who served in the U.S. military. Big guy, tough guy. Kids of his own now, married. Guy can deadlift 716 pounds. And yet he was brought to tears in this interview talking about how he was exploited by a predator on Roblox. And it just goes to show you the depths of this thing. Now, yes, improvements have been made, but where was this before we all started reporting on it? And if you talk to kids, if you talk to people who study this very closely, most of those safety measures can be circumvented. You know, so the Roblox folks will say, look, the initial contact might have been made on Roblox, but it was moved to Discord or another platform. So what? You got a piece of Discord too. You got a server there. You're like this with Discord. You know, why won't you allow law enforcement to conduct investigations on your platforms? Why? They won't. Why do you, on the one hand, report predators to the National Center of Missing and Exploited Children, yet you don't take the extra step to make sure they can't create another account? It makes no sense, except that it would limit engagement in the number of people on the platform at any given time. And that's the only thing that, that you know, critics can think of about this. And it's also suspicious to me that you'll see the CEO or the chief security officer of Roblox go on a morning show someplace or a tech show where they think they can, you know, just talk about the wizardry of their platform, but they won't sit down with me to do an interview. They'll feed me information on background. They'll give me a written statement, but they will not sit down with me for an interview. Now, if I were Roblox, you know, and they've got some former media people who work there, I would sit down, say, we're doing our very best. And remember, Chris, we're not committing the crimes. It's the predators committing the crimes. Let the chips fall where they may. But they won't even do that, which indicates to me that they're either afraid or they're arrogant. In other words, they think that they own this world, they created this world, and they know what's best for it. And they don't want to answer my questions on camera.
So wasn't there a movement for citizens to police Roblox, but they introduced some kind of anti-vigilante spiel preventing that?
Well, you've seen a young man who's very active on social media named Schlepp. It's his name online. And he's a character in our documentary, and I've worked with him, you know, closely over the last several months. Schlepp was a up-and-coming young content creator, game creator on Roblox. He was in their junior programs. He was all in. His parents, good people who monitored his activity. Well, guess what? At the age of 11, he was exploited, taken advantage of by an older person, and was driven to the point of almost taking his own life at 11. Hospitalized, treatment, came out on the other side. And again, very good, caring parents who were there for him at every moment. And now he's become an activist, and he has gone online on Roblox, and he has identified, you know, men exploiting children and has teamed up with other people and exposed them. What does Roblox do? Goes after Schlepp. Calls him a vigilante. Says that vigilantism isn't an appropriate thing to have happen on the platform. But if there were no crimes being committed, then you wouldn't need vigilantes. And again, I have mixed emotions about any of the vigilantes who are doing, you know, catches, because I don't think in some cases they adhere to the same, you know, principles that we do at True Blue. But, you know, Schlepp's heart is in the right place, I think. His mind is in the right place. And, you know, if Roblox were smart or perhaps less arrogant, they would embrace him and say, look, you can't do this, but you can do that, and make him a part of the solution. And they try to do that with parents. But here's the thing, Sean, for this parent advisory group they've got going on now, they make the parents sign an NDA, right? They are trying to, they're facing thousands and thousands of potential lawsuits on behalf of kids who are exploited on their platform. And there's an effort to settle these cases, but Roblox wants to silence the people with whom they are discussing a settlement. They don't want them to tell their stories. And I think it's important for people to tell their stories. I think it's important for the Epstein people to tell their stories. And obviously, Without the brave Epstein survivors telling their stories, the case wouldn't have been prosecuted. The Miami Herald, you know the story, we've talked about it. Julie K. Brown down there, she's the one who convinced so many of these survivors to come forward. And without that work, without that advocacy and that local reporting, the U.S. attorney in New York wouldn't have been able to indict the case. And that those are his words, not mine.
So one of the viewers wants to know your thoughts on turning off the chat functions for online games that are geared towards minors. Would that stop the predation?
I think it would stop a lot of it. I also think that, parents have to tell their kids, these people you're playing games with, they're not your friends unless you know them in real life. And I also think that Roblox should provide parents a white sheet function where they can go through the games and say, you're not playing this one. You're not playing the bathroom game. You're not playing the dating game. You know, you're not doing any of this stuff. And there are age limitations in some of these games that have been implemented by Roblox, and that's good. But, you know, kids are crafty. They figure out ways to get to, you know, places they shouldn't be. You know, when I was growing up, the most disturbing thing we did was, you know, find Playboy magazines in a box in somebody's dad's garage, and you had to sneak in there and get them and take them to the woods and look at them. It wasn't even real pornography by today's standards. It was, you know, cheesecake photos. But that was the extent of it. Today, I mean, it's unlimited what kids can be exposed to, and it's alarming. And it's especially alarming when it starts on a game that is supposed to be designed for children as young as 5 years old.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games as all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.
If the world were like a Sleep Number mattress, everything would adapt for your comfort. Because as your life changes and your body changes, Sleep Number mattresses adapt and shift to give you personalized comfort night after night. And now it's the final days of our Everything's on Sale event. Save up to $1,200 on mattresses. Our Memorial Day event ends Monday. To experience a whole new world of comfort, visit a Sleep Number store or go to sleepnumber.com. Sleep Number, to a good life's sleep.
So if it's that tricky then to... for the parents, I mean, what should parents look for then? If
they should be looking over, they should be looking at the Roblox account. They should be looking at the child's digital assets to make sure there isn't a Roblox account. The case of the 10-year-old girl who was being exploited by the man in the UK, who's now behind bars, thankfully. I mean, this is a woman who homeschooled her child, who told her, no, you can't have Roblox, but she got it anyway. And the only reason she found out, again, this isn't a troubled child. This is a curious child. The only reason the mom found out was because she started seeing messages on a long unused Instagram account. And she started, what's this? And she typed something back, and suddenly she's in conversation with the predator in the UK. And she figures this out and then turns it over to the detective, who continues the investigation, which led to the guy's arrest over in the UK and his prosecution over there. Which reminds me, I got to check on that case before we drop the documentary in a couple of weeks. But it's, kids are tricky. And especially if the parents aren't intimately familiar with the technology. But here's what I would say to parents. You can't let the technology intimidate you. It's just a way for kids to communicate and hopefully have good, clean, innocent fun. But your job is to, number one, educate them and remind them that if they do get contacted by somebody who wants them to do something uncomfortable or weird, their first step is come to talk to you, because you're not going to punish them for it. You're going to go get the bad guy. You're going to go to the authorities. You know, 10, 15 years ago, the authorities were intimidated by these cases. Not so much today. Every police department has a unit or a squad or somebody at least who's expert at this. And they are standing by and willing to take on these cases. And if they don't have somebody, they know somebody in the neighboring department or the bigger department who will help. The police are routinely responsive to these cases these days. And so there's no excuse for not going to report these.
Yeah, so when I was a kid, you know, you heard about the predator at the park or, you know, lurking near the school. And it seems now the internet has just increased access to kids from anyone, anywhere in the world. So does that...
There are no borders whatsoever. And so, again, I don't want to freak kids out and I don't want to freak parents out. I do want to freak kids out. I don't want to freak parents out because, again, you gotta protect your house. You know, you have a Ring cam on your door, you have surveillance, you have, protection on your computer so viruses don't take over. You gotta extend the same common sense to your children, your most valuable asset, the humans you love the most. And you gotta have the conversation with them and you gotta take the time to do it. I mean, I sat after the Roblox thing drops, we've got a documentary we've been working on for quite some time on sextortion. And it's appropriate that drops right afterwards because, you know, I sat across from parents whose children committed suicide because they were taken advantage of by, you know, a con man half a world away in Nigeria or Eastern Europe. And, you know, they were posing as an attractive young woman. They got the boy to send some naughty pictures and, you know, as if that's going to alter your life. No, it's not. But in the moment, these kids are so caught up in their digital world, their relationships, their profiles, what people think of them, they act impulsively and they do rash things. And in these four cases that we profiled in the documentary, these children killed themselves.
Oh.
It's heartbreaking. And these are by no means isolated incidents. I mean, again, the fellow I'm going to interview tomorrow for the Have a Seat with Chris Hansen podcast is, you know, I had been following his case. I my wife saw him on TikTok. We followed up and I had initiated discussions and I saw that, you know, I was coming back around to my list of stuff I need to do. And I called him last week and it happened to be the anniversary, the 1 year anniversary of his daughter taking her life after being exposed to the 7-6 four guys. And, you know, good guy. He's in the film industry. He's, you know, hip to social media. He knows it all. You know, looking back, of course, every parent, you know, can find mistakes they've made in life. I can, everybody can. But, you know, he generally was doing everything right. And I felt so horrible that I caught him on the anniversary. I mean, obviously he wanted to talk about it and create awareness and a discussion, but you know, it just tears me up every time I hear one of these stories.
And are they professional gangs working out of certain parts of the world that are just targeting people?
I think there are. And I don't know if I give them the courtesy of calling them professional, except that they're making money and they're exploiting. They're awful crimes conceived in hell. I mean, anybody takes advantage of a child this way. But some of these 7-6-4 guys, these people, I mean, they're just motivated by pure evil. You know, they get off on exploiting and getting these kids to cut themselves and to abuse others. And I've never seen anything like it. I was at CrimeCon this past year and I hosted a panel with a number of people in this space, the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children, and one of the people was an FBI agent who got permission to talk about all this stuff, which is rare for an active agent. Usually you get somebody who's done it, who's retired and isn't bound by the strict rules of the Bureau, but this guy got permission and he talked about this stuff. And the cases, Sean, are just chilling, you know, and just pure evil and violence and exploitation. I mean, it's the worst I've seen. These 7-4 guys.
Do you think AI is going to make this worse? Could these gangs just have AI enhancing their abilities to do these?
Yeah, we have to be, you know, try to be one step ahead. I think that's difficult sometimes with the rapid pace of technology. But AI is going to change the game. So now we need to figure out a way to use AI to battle it. And the good news is that, you know, we may be a step behind, but we'll get there. I mean, you know, they're already, you know, we're looking at a lot of different ways to use AI in our investigations. And I think there's a good shot that we'll get a step ahead of it, at least in our, you know, in our cases.
All right, folks, get your final questions in for Chris. We're talking about the Epstein files and Roblox. Thank you for the super chat. Yep, thanks, Chris, for all that you do. Let's see, what's this say? What about the Swiss bank being associated with handling money tied to one of the most notorious abuse cases, still continuing processing transactions that linked to Ghislaine even after JE was arrested? Because the banks paid out an absolute fortune, didn't they, for facilitating the apparatus?
That's an excellent question. I mean, you look at JP Morgan Chase. I mean, there's a reason they paid out a 300-some million-dollar settlement to the survivors. They facilitated this. And they, you know, he was bringing in a lot of money, Epstein was. And you know, you look back to the beginning of his financial career. He was a teacher at a swanky private school here in New York and got plucked out of there to work at Bear Stearns. And the New York Times Magazine did a big takeout on it a few weeks back. And they interviewed the guy who was Epstein's boss. And he said, I wish I had killed his career when I had a chance to do it, because they had found that he had lied about his higher education on his resume, and they called him out on it. And he was able to charm him and say, look, I was a nothing, and the only way to get over was to fake it. But he was the Amazing Mr. Ripley. He was a con man from the get go, and he faked it till he made it. And then he used that to be one of the most horrifying human traffickers in the history of the world. But yeah, the banks hold responsibility here. And I'm not, intimately familiar with Swiss banks, handling Ghislaine's money, but one can reasonably believe that she knew that law enforcement was breathing down on her, and she was living up in the Northeast with a cell phone wrapped in tinfoil or whatever it was when they snagged her. So, she knew how some of the money was, and I'm presuming that she was able to preserve some of it for when she gets out.
So Ryan wants to know, how do you cope with all of this shocking stuff, Chris?
I've developed over the year, I've been a reporter for 44 years now. And people ask that all the time. And do you go to therapy and blah, blah. I'm good at getting away from it. I'm good at, skiing down a mountain or hitting a ball with a stick or just taking a day to myself and with my kids and my wife and escaping it. So I take good care of myself. Stay fit. Gotta stay in fighting shape, Sean.
Indeed. Will Mandelson go to jail? I believe so. Do you believe so, Chris?
Based upon what I know, he's got trouble. And again, I'm more familiar with the United States judicial system than I am over in the UK, but I've covered some cases over there, and he looks to be in trouble. I think there's criminal liability there for sure.
Yeah, you can't be transferring state secrets.
I mean, giving government secrets for money is spying stuff. That's treason. I mean, in this country, and I'm presuming it's pretty much the same over there, that's a lifetime prison sentence in many cases.
All right. So next question is from Alicia. Have you heard there are 25 men who paid arranged to not have their files released?
I have not heard that. I'd be surprised if that was the case. I don't know how they would facilitate that. I don't know who they would pay. I suppose in the conspiracy world, that would have had something to do with the Justice Department. I know that some files have not been released, and as of now, they don't plan on releasing them for whatever combination of reasons. But thus far, the Justice Department said they've released everything that's going to be released.
So Nikki said, Trump is mentioned in the files. Is he guilty of wrongdoing, or is he an accomplice?
Not that I have seen. Everything that I've seen. And again, this is a unique, everything that I've seen indicates that the story he's told is the truth about not being involved in that. But, the problem with these files, and look, as a reporter, I wish I could get all the files in every criminal case in the history of my career, right? We all want everything. But there's a reason that investigative files are not typically released unless there's a prosecution. And then they take the information from the files and they decide what has probable cause and merit, and they put it in the prosecution documents, and those cases go to court and you have the evidence. And then at some point you as a reporter have access to it. This is unique in my 44 years of reporting that there's been such a crime that is so horrific that the Justice Department and Congress has actually got involved and said, you have to release this. And that's good. That's transparent. That's important. But you have to remember that there are a lot of things in those documents that are false, are manufactured, and were never verified by investigators. And so to have those things floating around, it takes restraint and some responsibility on the part of the Fifth Estate to, you know, not go tarnish somebody who didn't do anything wrong. And, you know, there's some of that going on too. So you have to guard against it. Again, horrific criminal, horrific crimes. Nothing ever like it in my career. The predation and everything that went into it. And the pure evil. And just, you know, he was guilty of his homemade sin. But, you know, you also have to be aware that there's stuff in there that was never verified.
Can Trump be stopped from letting Maxwell go?
I think that if he wants to give a pardon, I don't think there's a mechanism in government to prevent that. I would have to research that constitutionally just to make sure, but I think if the president of the United States wants to give a pardon, I don't think Congress has the ability to overrule him on that. His Justice Department can write a memo and say, I don't think that's a good idea. We don't think that's a good idea. But I think once he decides that, you know, if he decides that he wants to do that, I don't think there's a mechanism to stop him that is in the Constitution.
Furry's asking, do you think the only reason for crimes of this mass scale is because key government figures are in on it?
I don't know if key government figures need to always be in on it, but powerful men need to be in on it. And powerful men who are corrupted by powerful amounts of money need to be in on it. You just don't do this stuff on your own. You have to create, you know, whether they intended to be in on it or not, there were powerful government figures. I mean, if you got a former president, you know, who's palling around with this guy in Africa, South Africa, whether he committed any illegal activity himself or not, he's involved in that he legitimized what this guy was doing. You know, whether intentional or not, the fact is he's roaming around South Africa with the former president of the United States, enjoying all the privileges that the president has, accompanied by Secret Service, presumably, protected. And Epstein's in on that. I mean, think about that for a minute. All these activities, the time where Julia Bryant says she was first in contact with Epstein. Epstein was with the former president of the United States, who likely had Secret Service agents guarding him and thus protecting, by extension, one of the biggest human traffickers in the history of the United States.
That's crazy.
Let that sink in for a minute.
So Robert's saying, surely they have the videos. Why has there been no more arrests?
The videos in the Epstein case?
Yep.
Well, I think we need to find out, you know, what was shown in the video and does it constitute a crime? I mean, you know, that's a very you know, horrifying picture of Prince Andrew. You're kneeling over a young woman, but, you know, what's the crime there besides, you know, bad judgment? I mean, what did he do before? What did he do after? I mean, it's potentially evidence, but, you know, do we even know who that woman is? I mean, I guess it could be used in evidence in a criminal case, but there'd have to be other, you know, facts associated with it as well to determine what was going on there.
Another viewer question here. Do you believe that Epstein was spying for any particular countries?
You know, that's an excellent question. And obviously it has become one of the parlor games of this whole thing is, you know, did he have a connection to Mossad? Did he have a connection to Putin's Russian intelligence? I don't know. I have no independent verification that he intimated that at different times in terms of Mossad, you know, that's been documented. You know, if he was in cahoots with Russia, that would be something, right? I have no independent verification of it, but I mean, it's based upon everything he did that can be verified. I certainly wouldn't put it past him.
Do you think there's no more arrests going to be done as the ruling class is above the law?
I don't think the ruling class is above the law. I understand why people think that. I understand why we question it. They shouldn't be above the law. Certainly by giving Ghislaine Maxwell any sort of a break, it's going to perpetuate that feeling, though. So hopefully that's not true, but I understand the fear that it could be.
Okay. What can we do? Our elected officials have been given the opportunity to view the files unedited. That's from Audrey.
Well, I think you have to demand accountability. I mean, it sounds trite, you know, to write your congressman and contact your lawmaker, your politicians, but I think you need to get out there. I mean, I think it was very powerful when the survivors in the Epstein matter all appeared, you know, in Washington, and they had some congressional support. I think there would have been an effort to stonewall the release of the rest of the files had they not done this, you know, and it was a very powerful scene. You know, what are you going to let all these people who we know were victimized, who obtained financial settlements from the estate, who would have been witnesses in a criminal prosecution had Epstein not died or committed suicide? They had no choice. And that's the power of reaching out and asking questions of your representatives.
So what do you think of the work of Thomas Massie and Marjorie?
In terms of?
You know, them pushing to get these files released.
I think, you know, the rest of the files that have not been released, I don't know why you wouldn't release them. I mean, if you're going to release 75% of them, get the rest of them out there. I mean, already, even if you're worried about things that aren't true being in the Epstein files, that's already happened, right? We know there are things that are in there that aren't true that have already been released. I don't know why they wouldn't just go all the way and get rid of it. Maybe there's a legitimate reason I'm unaware of. I don't know. But yeah, I mean, as a reporter, I want to see it all.
All right. Thanks for answering all the questions, Chris. We've got 3,000 watching live. Chris's links are in the live chat. They're also in the description box. We salute you for your great work, Chris. Is there anything you'd like to say in conclusion to the viewers? What have you got coming up?
Well, I want folks to be aware of this Roblox investigation. The name of it is Dangerous Games. And I'll actually have an air date in the next day or two, but it'll drop on my streaming crime network, True Blue, this month, late in February. I've got one more thing to do for it. And True Blue is TRUBLU. Watch TrueBlue.com. The podcast or Predators I've Caught and Have a Seat with Chris Hansen. And you know, you can find me all over social media, as you know.
Absolutely. All right, my friend, keep up the fantastic work.
Thanks for having me. It's great to see you, and I'm glad you're well, and I'll see you again soon.
All right, take care, Chris. Cheers.
You too, buddy.
Bye. What a fantastic guest. He's, you know, educating so many people on such a wide scale. People are heeding his information, and it's got to be saving lives, folks. Heartbreaking to hear about these kids, the sextortion racket, kids unaliving themselves because they're getting these, sending photos to people they think it's like a pretend girlfriend, etc. Absolutely horrific. Imagine you've raised a kid, he's a teenager, and then that kid unalives themselves after all those years. The heartbreak those families are going through. Absolutely disgusting. Pure evil, the people doing this. So it's important we support Chris's work. I'll put his links there in the chat again. If you're watching on replay, his links are all in the description box. And then there's two more shows coming up today. Let's see. Piper Lewis is a transported survivor facing 20 years behind bars. Dr. Leslie Dobson is coming on tonight at 7 p.m. And then we have got the Epstein Files, JonBenet Ramsey, Sobering Stories at 9 p.m. And then I've got two shows tomorrow. Underground tunnels and bases, deep state or satanic. This is going to be interesting. This is at 7 p.m. And then Epstein's Zorro Ranch, eugenics, skull and bones with Chris Milligan. Horrors exposed in Epstein's New Mexico lab. That is at 8 p.m. So lots of content going forward. I did do a 90-minute pre-record with David Icke today. The uncensored version, I've already put it up on my Patreon, but we hope to get the, because we've got to take a few little bits out for YouTube. We hope to get that up at the weekend, folks. So stay tuned for that as well. If you missed yesterday's streams, the stream will end and take you over.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
If the world were like a Sleep Number mattress, everything would adapt for your comfort. Because as your life changes and your body changes, Sleep Number mattresses adapt and shift to give you personalized comfort night after night. And now it's the final days of our Everything's on Sale event. Save up to $1,200 on mattresses. Our Memorial Day event ends Monday. To experience a whole new world of comfort, visit a Sleep Number store or go to sleepnumber.com. Sleep Number, to a good life's sleep.